Now today, we did a very short worship at the beginning, okay? But don't worry, we want to worship afterwards. But there's a reason why we break up the worship a little bit, because I think there's something that's fundamentally important that you all need to hear today. So I want you to give me your full attention, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, pay attention today. Now, you remember last week we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we talked a lot about the Holy Spirit so far, right? We talked about why the Holy Spirit is a promise of God for all of us. We talked about why we need the Holy Spirit to help us live out the covenant promise. We talked about the power of the Holy Spirit to transform you, not just to enable you, but to transform you, right? To make you His witnesses. And then we talked about Elijah tearing down the high places in your lives. Because there are things in your life that prevent you from drawing near to God. And I assume that all of us want to draw near to God. Amen? Okay, we want to draw near to God. And then we don't just want to stay at the gate of Disneyland. You want to go in, right? Then last week we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I found a very good passage that I'd like to read to you that sort of captures a lot of what we said last week. And this is found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand." When Peter wrote this, 2,000 years ago, he said, the end is at hand. That means now, it's almost there already, right? He said, therefore, let us be serious and watchful in your prayer. So this is the mindset, right? By the way, could we turn off this thing at the back, okay? Okay, so we have to be serious, right? Turn to your neighbor and look at them in the eye and say, be serious. Okay, you're laughing, serious. Be serious. Okay, be serious, right? And then he says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. You remember last week we talked about why 1 Corinthians 13 is so important. It's stuck right between 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, because without love, when you wield your power and all that, you're going to kill people, right? You're not going to help people. You're not going to edify people. You end up hurting one another. And truthfully, church is a place that a lot of people get hurt. Do you realize this? People come to church and then they go away feeling hurt and feeling very sad and painful. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And the answer is to have love that covers a multitude of sins. And then it says, be hospitable. That's not hospital, but be kind to one another, right? To one another without grumbling, right? If you like to grumble, don't grumble, right? Another, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another. So if God has given you some spiritual gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Just now we talk about grace, right? Actually, you know what? Someone say like this. The depth of your understanding of grace is directly proportional to the depth of your understanding of your own wretchedness. Okay, I'll let you think about that. Okay. But anyway, I continue here. If anyone speaks, and this is not just talking, this is talking about prophetically or giving a word of wisdom, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so Peter writes this thing, but he actually went a little bit beyond what Paul said. He said that all these things are to be done for the glory of God. Everyone say glory. Everyone say glory. I say, not glory, okay, glory, okay, one more time, Everyone say glory. Glory. Okay, the word glory in Hebrew is kabod. And you know what kabod means? Kabod is heavy. It means heavy, right? My brother is not fat, he's kabod. Okay, he's heavy, right? This weight. When we talk about the glory of God, it's as if an elephant is sitting on you. You cannot ignore it, right? Imagine if an elephant or someone big is sitting on you. You can feel the weight of it. Okay, that is glory. So, Peter says that, you know, everything, all the activity of the Holy Spirit revolves around this whole idea of giving glory to God. And in fact, later on in the same passage, he says, if you are reproached, meaning that, you know, you suffer in the name of Christ, blessed are you for the spirit of glory. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit that's concerned with the glory of God. And that spirit of glory rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. Okay, just follow me a little bit more, right? Because Peter is trying to tell something about the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is not some sort of, You know, how many of you Star Wars fans? Yeah, okay. You know I say when the Force, right? See, the Force is just the Force. It has no personality, you see. The Force won't say, I don't like you. The Force is just the Force, right? Somebody exerts power on the Force, right? But the Holy Spirit is not like the Force. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has likes and he has dislikes. And so according to Peter, the thing that is on the mind of the Holy Spirit all the time is the glory of God. In fact, Jesus, when he talked about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, say the same thing. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things that will come. He will glorify me. You see that? He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Okay, so what does the Holy Spirit want to do? The Holy Spirit wants to glorify God. Okay? Now you might think, oh, Pastor, that's so obvious. I know that. But no, you don't know this. Okay? This is the most important thing to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do a lot of things, but his goal is always one thing. It's to glorify God. So all the activity of the Holy Spirit revolves around this idea of bringing glory to God. Now here's the thing. What do you call the act of bringing glory to God? What do you call it? You call it worship. That is what worship is. Worship is bringing glory to God, right? Now, I want to say this because, you know, just now we all sang some songs, right? And then we always talk about worship and we enjoy worship. But I will tell you this. Most people don't know what worship is. Okay? And today, I want to try and help you understand what is worship and how to worship God. Are you okay? Right? How many of you like to worship? Okay, I'm remembering all these hands now, so okay? Because I'm going to tell you something that may change your way about thinking about what is worship. So we all agree it is very important. And now I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit is very concerned with this whole idea of worship, right? But what is worship? Well, let's talk about it. I had to rewrite this sermon so many times because it's something that's so difficult to explain, right? Let me briefly put it this way. All of us know instinctively that worship and the presence of God is somehow connected. Do you agree? Right? We may not be able to explain this, but instinctively, you know, something about worship and the presence of God is connected. Because sometimes, in the midst of worship, you find yourself in the presence of God. However, I think you also agree that this doesn't happen all the time. Correct? So, worship, something intrinsic about worship, has the power to either draw us near God or distance us away from God. Right? If you have, for example, correct worship, the result is you will be drawn into the presence of God. If you are incorrect worship, the converse happens. You will actually distance yourself away from God. Now, in the book of Leviticus chapter 10, there's a very interesting scenario talking about Aaron's two sons. Aaron, of course, as you know, was the priest, the Aaronic priesthood, right? And all his sons were also priests. They had a job. Their job, the one thing that they do is they are professionally in charge of the worship of God in the temple. So every day they will do whatever they're supposed to do, right? They put the oil there, they will put the fire there, they make sure everything is proper, they clean up, they sanctify, they offer up animals. This is what they are supposed to do every day. So week in and week out, day in and day out, this is what they do. They do professional worship. In some ways, we also do that, right? But today, when we look at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 to 3, something very interesting happened. And this is a negative example. So I want you to look at this story. Nadab and Abihu was their name, right? And the Bible tells us that these sons of Aaron, one day, they took the censer. Now what the censer is, it's a bowl with a long stick. Usually it's made up of brass, okay? He took the fire, put incense in this. Now so far, all of this is normal. This is what they do every single day. They offer the Bible says, profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. I want to pause here for a while. What do you mean they offered? I mean, these guys, they did the same thing every day, day in, day out, right? Just like you will come every weekend. You will all come in the service. You all will know when to stand. You all know when to clap. Most of you, anyway, some of you, no sense of rhythm, right? Don't know when to clap. Everyone's supposed to clap on 2 and 4, but you're doing 1 and 3, you know, or something like this, right? But you do the same thing. You know when to sit down. You know when to come forward. This is what we do every day. It's very normal. You don't, in fact, You know, a lot of times you don't even think about it. You just automatically, I don't know why I'm doing this. Okay, you're just doing it, right? And we say, that's worship. Well, these guys, same thing. They did it every day. But on this particular day, when they did it, the Bible tells us that the presence of God showed up. The Bible says, fire came out from before the Lord. So God was there. Fire came out from before the Lord and devoured them. Okay. Now, our church talk about fire. Not this kind of fire. Okay. We're not talking about this kind of fire. Turn to your neighbor and say, not this kind of fire. Okay. This is not the kind of fire you want, right? But listen, God's presence was God there? According to the Bible, was God there? Yes, He was there, right? But very dangerous. The fire, you know, I just imagine. Can you just imagine? You came to church one Saturday, right? And then every person who step in late now, boom, fire. Okay? The next week, either you'll come 1 hour early, right? To the Saturday 3:30 service instead and wait there. Or you will probably won't come at all. Safer to go. You know, the presence of God is very dangerous. Do you know this? Very dangerous. Alright? So, devour them and they die before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, now listen, this is very important. He says, this is what the Lord spoke, saying to them, by those who come near me, if you want to draw near to God, okay, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified. Okay? Very important. So, when you think about worship, there's a wrong kind of worship. The wrong kind of worship will result in really bad things. Okay? I mean, the least of it is that God doesn't show up, or you are distanced away from God. Right? So this is the kind of worship you don't want to do. So, if that's the case, right, what is the right kind of worship? Apparently, the Bible talks about a right kind of worship. Because Jesus, in John chapter 4, when He met with this Samaritan woman, had a discussion about worship. The Samaritan woman was asking Jesus, you know, where should we worship? Here or there? You know, all these external questions about worship. Now, some of us, we ask external questions about worship, such as, which group you like most, which CD do you like most, right? Or which song do you like most? Or which style of song do you like most? We talk about external. Or which church do you like most? Or which team most happening? External questions. But Jesus gave an answer that says, but the hour is coming now, and now is when true worshippers, everyone say true worshippers. Now, if there's true worshippers, it follows that there must be false worshippers. Am I right? I mean, otherwise you wouldn't say true worshipper, right? Or wrong worshippers, if you like. You say, true worshippers will, true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Did you know that when you came here today, God is looking at all of you, and God is looking for one kind of person. The kind of person who offers up worship in spirit and in truth. Because God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. You see, you can be like Nadab and Abihu. You present whatever you present, it doesn't mean that God wants it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because you sing a song does not automatically mean that God, I'm so glad you sing a song. Listen, God got many, many angels, heavenly choir. They've been singing for a very long time. Therefore, they know their song very well because they only sing one song. Okay? So, some of us think, I worship God, must be so happy. Listen, very important. You hold the power in your worship to do one of two things. Either to draw near to God or to distance yourself away from God. Not all kind of worship is correct. Because sometimes I think the church doesn't tell us this. God don't want to hurt your feelings, you see. Right? So today, I hope you will put on your thick skin a little bit. Okay? Don't be so easily hurt. But I'm telling you this is because I want you to be successful in your worship. I want you to worship in a way that will bring you to a place. And we want to go to a place today, which I think many of us don't often go. Okay? So, what kind of worship, therefore, is it that God desires? What is this spirit and truth worship? Well, now if you go to Israel, and you visit this place in the south of Israel called Timnah, right? That's a little park there where they have built a model of a full-size to scale model of the tabernacle in the desert. Now, you don't know that when the children of Israel travel around, they had this tabernacle where God's presence is. And we have a picture here, right? This picture here. Now, this tabernacle is not very big, right? Now, you can see basically, there's sort of like cloth perimeter, right? Let's begin with the center. Okay, the thing in the middle, the tent in the middle, that is the tabernacle. right? And the entrance, which has this, looks like, I don't know how to describe the thing, the lines there, right? That is the entrance. According to the Bible, that entrance is the particular, the exact place where God will meet with the people. If you want to meet God, you go to the entrance. If you get everything correct, God will meet you at the entrance. Okay? So that's the temple. Of course, inside the temple, which you can't see, there's this holy place. Right? Now, inside the holy place, at the back part of the temple, there's a small room known as the most holy place, also known as the Holy of Holies. Okay? And then, as you come out from the temple, you see something that looks like a toilet bowl there. That is not a toilet bowl. That's a laver for washing your hands. Okay? And then, in front of the laver, you see, not laboratory, come to it, it sounds like it, but it's the same word, right? But in front of it, you see this thing. What is that thing? That is the altar of the burnt offering. Right? That's where you put your animals to burn them. And then, you get to the gate. Now, that outer cloth perimeter, everything inside this, let's call it the inner court. Everyone say inner court. Everything outside that is called the outer court. Okay? Now listen. In the Bible, when it talks about worship and sacrifice, there are many, many kinds of offerings that you can bring to God. You can bring heave offering, grain offering, thanksgiving offering. You can bring guilt offering, sin offering, many types of offering. All those offerings, you can we just leave that up there? Okay, because I'll keep pointing to that, right? That screen just now, that one, right? Now, all those offerings, I want you to just look at this picture and just imagine this, right? You can do all of that outside. You don't have to go to the inner court. You can, in fact, you can do it at home. So you can give thanks to God at home. You don't have to come to this place, right? You can make your peace offering at home. You don't really have to come to this place. You can do all those, but there's one offering that you can only do here, right? Which offering do you think that is? Burnt offering. Because the altar of the burnt offering is in there, right? So there's only, now, this, remember, this is the location of God's glory and presence on the face of the earth, right? Now today, if you go to Israel, and if you have the opportunity to go up on the Temple Mount, right? You know, you find no Jews there. You think, wow, all the Jews would definitely want to go to the, I mean, there's no more temple there, but you know, the area is there. It's just flat, wide, open area. You know why they dare not go there? Because they don't know where the original location of the Holy of Holies is. And they're afraid they might accidentally step on it, and if you step on it, the fire will come out and devour you, because that's, you know, you're not supposed to do that, right? So, this is considered the most, inside the Holy of Holies, it's the most holy place. If you look carefully, you may see that there's something on top of the tent going up. There's supposed to be a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire, okay? Now, listen, this is very important, okay? Just bear with me. If you can think about this, the further you get away from the presence of God, the more chinchai it is. But as you get nearer and nearer, there's going to be more and more rules and regulations about what you can do, what you cannot do, right? So anyone who wants to go into inner court have to now observe a whole bunch of regulation. You must make a sin offering, a guilt offering, lah. Then you must ritually pure, you must wash yourself, blah, 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 all these kind of things. The further you in you go, the more regulation, the more things you have to deal with, right? And then, by the time you get to the most holy of holies, only the high priest can go in once a year. And even then, he has to make all kinds of sacrifices before he can go into there. Okay, you follow so far? So you know that this place is very hard to go to. Okay, this is the inner court, the inner sanctum of the presence of God. Okay, now I want to tell you this. Now when we talk about worship, most of the time, our aim is to come to the presence of God. Right? But I want to tell you this. Most of the time, we end up only in the outer courts. Right? We only end up, like I said, Disneyland, only come outside to the gate outside. We don't get into the inner court. Right? Why is this so? Well, I will tell you how you get in there. Because, you see, whenever you come and sing songs of praise, right? For example, you say, well, Lord, I want to thank you for something that you've done. Okay? That's thanksgiving. That's not worship. It's thanksgiving, right? You tell God, I love you so much, yeah? And all your fantasies of divine romance, okay, that one is, you're still in the outer court. You tell God, you make me feel so wonderful, I'm so happy, you know, I'm so deeply in love with you. Guess what? You're still in the outer court. You're still not in the inner court. I would say, most of the songs that I hear us sing in church, leave us in outer court. Because, in order to go into the inner court, there's some very specific things that we don't do. And that's why we never really draw near the presence of God. So, I mean, outer court is wonderful. A lot of people in the outer court. In fact, most people are in the outer court, you see. That's where everyone can go. You can do whatever you want. You know, we sing songs of praise. We encourage one another. And in the outer court is the place where you bring all your needs to God. And God, I have this need. I have my petition. I have my request. And people may make intercession for you. There's ministry. All of that still in the outer court. So I see in church, week after week after week, we only come as far as the outer courts. And I tell you why it's so sad. Because the inner court is really special. Okay? It's really special. Because when you get in the inner court, suddenly you lose interest in the outer court. Right? When you really get, I mean, it's like watching, how many watch this show called Mithi? You know Mithi, this show? This guy went to Iceland, and then the show is full of beautiful scenes from Iceland, you know. And you watch the show, listen, watching the show is one thing. Going to Iceland beats watching the show any day. Do you agree? Right? Now, that's the same thing. We want to get. So how do you get into the inner courts? Let me continue one or two points. I think it's very important. I'm trying not to preach very long today. That's what I always say. But, okay, now I don't know where I am. All kinds of worship we offer up to God. Nadab and Abihu, they offer up what they thought was okay. Turns out, it was not what God desired. If any one of you have ever received a gift that you didn't want, okay? Someone give you stuff that, look, I didn't want it, I don't want it, in fact, I don't know what to do with it, now give me, I want to find a place to put this thing, right? You understand. Now, there are two things that are required if you really want to go into the inner courts. Okay? The first thing you got to do is you have to strip yourself from all impurities. Okay? Now, what do you mean by this? Now, remember when Moses was at the burning bush, right? What did God tell Moses? Moses! Moses! Maybe then he went to the bush, right? Check out, how come this bush can talk on, right? And then lo and behold, says, take off your sandals. Because the ground upon which you are standing is holy ground. The first thing, if you really want to get past the altar, you have to do what? You have to start to drop the self aspect of worship. Right? You drop the self aspect of worship. You know, many of us only see God as a fulfiller of our needs. Right? We see God as a fulfiller of our needs. So when we come to God, we are all hoping that we can get something from God. May it be blessing, the love of God even, maybe the comfort of God, or the protection of God. Perhaps you want God to do something for you. Now, all that is fine. But I will tell you, if that's all you do, then the outer court is as far as you will ever go. Because if you want to come to God's presence, you have to learn to come to a place where it's no longer about me. Now, I hear so many Christian songs that are written purportedly about God, but actually, that is ultimately, it's like, for example, God, you are my savior. Now, when you say savior, what do you mean? Who are you saying that God saved? Me, right? God, you're so wonderful, you're a savior, because you saved me, right? Okay, let me say, okay, let's change. God, you're so good! Okay, good to who? Certainly not good to your enemy, right? Otherwise you won't sing God is so good, right? When you say God is so good, what you really mean is, God, you're so good to me, right? And I'm praising you because you have been so good to me. If you are not so good to me, maybe I might not sing the same song. Now, so many of our songs, if you look at carefully, the so-called worship songs, they are fundamentally revolving around this self. Now, when you come near God, as God says, take off your sandals. I think one of the things we need to learn to do is, you've got to learn to worship God for who He is. Not for what He does for you. Not even for the fact that He saves you, right? I mean, all those things are important. They all have a place. In church, there is a place for thanksgiving. There's a place for praise. There's a place for ministry. There's a place for intercession. There's a place for petition. But if you really want to get past all of that into the inner courts, where's my court again? Okay. Yeah, you really want to get into the inner courts, right? Then you have to begin to come to God beyond the self. Am I making sense? Because this is really important. If you think that you are so important and it's all about you, and if church is all about, well, do I like it or not? You know, sometimes we say songs, I don't like this song. Listen, since when we sang the song for you, right? We are here to worship God. But sometimes we have this problem. I don't like this song. Don't like, never mind. You know what? When you go to heaven, they're singing one song forever. Right? Can you imagine go up to Gabriel? Hey, Gabriel, don't mind. Can we change the soundtrack a bit? I mean, we've been hearing Holy Holy for about 972 years already. I think maybe it's about time to... Can you just put the rock and roll? You know what I mean? Because, you see, a lot of times we are still captured and wrapped up in this whole focus on self. Now, today, if you really want to get into the inner court, you have to begin to do this. So the first thing you got to do is you've got to strip yourself of all that. I guess strip ourselves of all this vanity, these impurities that taint the purity of our worship. Because when you come into the presence of God, He is the Son. Now this morning I just did a wedding. And you know, who is the most important person at the wedding? Do you know? Who's the most important person at the wedding? The bride lah, right? Nobody claps for the groom, right? But when the bride come in, wow, I will clap, clap, clap from the door, walk all the way in, and go out, so clap, clap. But the groom, nobody clap one, right? So, you know, those of you who are girls, once in your life, you'll be the most important person in church, okay? So, can you imagine, you have a wedding, right? Then suddenly, the bridesmaid come out and, hi everyone, look at me, hey, I'm here. You know what? Nobody cares for the bridesmaid, unfortunately, right? No, because a lot of times we think that it's about us. Secondly, when you come to the presence of God, God is the most important thing. When you truly enter in the presence of God, everything else fades away. You fade away. Your needs fade away. You are really, it will be all consuming. I don't know how to explain this to you. But if you've ever been there, that's the thing. Okay. Second thing. Can you imagine, you are dating, let's say you're a guy and you're dating, right? And let's say you're not a very handsome guy, like most of us here, like myself, okay? Not terribly handsome, okay? Okay, let's be honest, right? Can be honest or not, right? Cannot. Okay, the handsome guy, okay. And then this girl, really rocking it, she's like, super beautiful. And every day you're thinking to yourself, man, I must have done something right. How can I get so fortunate that this, you know, it's like Beauty and the Beast, right? So, and then one day you wake up and you discover the truth. She's only dating you because you got money. Not because of your good looks or your personality, as you like to believe. Tell me, how would you feel? How would you feel? Lucky lah, you know? At least I got money lah. Otherwise, no chance at all. You know what God feels? The problem is, many of us come to God exactly like that. God knows everything. Sometimes you come to me because of what you can get out of me, right? Blessing, protection, answers to your prayer, maybe some desperate need, or love, or something. And God is wondering, who is this person who will worship me in spirit and in truth? Not because of anything that I can give. In fact, if I don't give them anything else, they will just worship me because of who I am. You understand? Strip yourself of all of that. A lot of people can't do that. I mean, our generation. I want to believe that you guys can reach that point. Okay? Very important. Okay, let me talk about the second thing. The second thing that you need to do is the burnt offering. Because the moment you enter into this gate, the first thing you bump into is what? An altar of burnt offering. I mentioned to you before, the burnt offering and other offerings are very different. Most of the other offering, after you offer up, you can take something, and maybe grain offering, you wave it before the Lord, then you go back and eat the grain offering, you know? Right? Many of the offering, but the burnt offering is different from all the other offering, because whatever you put up there is completely consumed. The only result of that burnt offering is smoke and something known as a soothing aroma. Right? So, who benefits from the burnt offering? Only God. God alone benefits from the burnt offering. So this is what I said. I put this phrase up there. It says, most of the time our worship anticipates some kind of benefit. But true worship does not anticipate some benefit. It anticipates the pleasure of God. You understand? True worship is not trying to get anything from God. True worship wants to make God smile. You understand? True worship is nothing about me. Even if I don't get my needs met, doesn't matter. If I don't get comforted, doesn't matter. If I don't get acknowledged, doesn't matter. Because true worship is about making God happy. It's glorifying God. Making God happy. feel pleasure. That soothing aroma is for no one else except God. Okay, you follow so far? Okay, so now the next question is, how do we do this, right? What kind of worship? How do we have this kind of worship that God truly desires? Okay, so coming to the end already. But I've tried very hard to explain this, but I can't explain it. But there's a story in the Bible which I think captures well. And you can find that story in Genesis chapter 22. Many of you have heard this story before, but today we'll do it a little bit differently, okay? Now, you know about Abraham. How many of us here don't know about Abraham and his son Isaac? Okay, let me explain briefly. Abraham had only one son of his own. His precious son. So in Genesis chapter 22, God comes to Abraham and he says to him, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Just in case you think it's the other one, right? Whom you love. As if Isaac didn't know. Just kind of rubbing it in a bit. And go to the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering. You can't even take his leg back for souvenir. There's nothing left after you're done with this whole. Okay? It's completely consumed. Some people say, Lord, if I give Isaac, will you give me 3 more sons in return? No, nothing. It's a burnt offering. It goes up. That's it. All you have back is some smell. The soothing aroma. Probably not so soothing for Abraham. Every time you smell it, you know. It's my son Isaac, you know. Lim Chi Guan. Okay, so. As a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Now, I want you to just think for a second. Imagine you are the father. Worship has nothing to do with the songs we sing. We keep thinking that the song we sing defines our worship. No. Worship is when you put your Isaac as a burnt offering. You see, if you want to touch the God of the universe, what could you possibly bring? Right? On a weekend you come like this. We want to worship God. We want to give God pleasure. What can we possibly bring that could touch and move the heart of the creator of the universe? Burnt offering. Yeah, some of you may say, but isn't Jesus our burnt offering? That's the difference. Jesus is your guilt offering. He's your atoning sacrifice. But this kind of burnt offering is something that Leviticus says, free will. You bring the gift to God. This is why I say most of the time we don't know how to worship. Because our worship begins from our lips. But the kind of worship, the worship God in spirit and truth, the kind that God is looking for, begins when inside your heart, you dig inside and you ask, what am I bringing to God in worship? Now let me tell you something about this kind of worship. It is not new. Jesus Christ, on the Garden of Gethsemane, right? On that night that he was agonizing in prayer, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 26, this is what it says. He went a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, and this is why he prayed. Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me, right? It's very much like Abraham, you know. Nevertheless, this line very important. Not as I will, but as you will. That moment he said that is Jesus offering up the most perfect form of worship. When he said, Lord, take this life as the burnt offering. Nothing for me, all for you. In order to put a smile on the face of God the Father. That is the most perfect offering. So every week when we come to this place, what we are all actually supposed to be doing, what we are aspiring to do, is we want to give God this unadulterated offering, right? Glorify God is all about you. Even if I don't get anything out of this. See, that, when this happens, you are in the inner courts. You are in the inner courts, right? This is the place where David says, a day in your courts, it's more than 1,000 days without you. But you know what? Week after week, in church, we fail to understand that the point is to get the inner court, but we hang around the outer courts, because the outer courts often cost you very little. But to get in the inner courts, you have to reach inside and ask yourself, what is your burnt offering? What is it that you will offer up to God. Now Solomon, when he built the temple, right, for the Lord, after he had completed the temple, God was not in the temple. He wanted to invite God to the temple, right? So, because of that, you know, I mean, the temple was very expensive, very elaborate, made of gold and everything precious, very, very costly. And then he prayed this prayer, and now therefore, arise, O Lord, to your resting place, right? So he's inviting God. But today, according to 1 Corinthians, you and I, we are the temple of God. So we want to always be drawing into the inner courts. That's the place. That's the temple. Right? That's the place you want to be. You don't just want to be in the outer courts. It's not enough. In fact, once you be in the inner courts, you know what? Everything outside just like cannot make it. Right? But here's the problem. If you've never been inside, you're going to think that the outside is pretty cool. You're going to think that, oh, all this is superficial expressions of worship or the outward expression. We will think that these are the things. And sometimes you go through worship and wonder, oh, well, nothing happening, like, you know, look here, look there, you know. And then instead of focusing on God's presence, you think, this chair a bit smelly, huh? Or maybe it's Him. Can you go nearer? Oh, I think so, man. You know, we focus on all these things, and this song. You see, that only goes to show that most of us have not been in the inner courts. Because if you've been in the inner courts, you will be transformed. You will actually be changed irreversibly. Now here's the question. Do you want to be in the inner courts? Do you want to be in the inner courts? How many of you think you want to go into the inner courts? Amen. Yeah. But that place is not a place that the worship team can lead you. They are musicians. They can't lead you there. They can't give you something to become your burnt offering. That burnt offering is something that you must bring. If you don't bring that offering, if you don't strip yourself of all these things that constantly surround you all the time, your needs, your wants, your liking, your preference, you don't strip all that, you are doomed to stay in outer courts. But you really want to draw near to God and experience the real power and the glory of God. The kind that you're reading in revivals, the kind that you're reading in the Bible. If that kind of thing come to church, I don't see anything, no big deal, just a bunch of people singing on it. That's because you're in the outer courts, right? But if you really want to get there, then I'm going to ask you to look inside your heart and ask yourself, what offering are you going to bring to God? What will you bring to God as a burnt offering? As you make your way past the outer courts to the inner courts and draw near to the presence of God. So today, in a moment, our musicians probably should come up. You know, we're going to spend time in worship. But I want this to be a little bit different, okay? I don't want to just go through the motions of worship, sing song and all that, right? This time, I want you to forget everyone around you, if possible. To the best of your ability, forget who's on your left, right? Because you know what? In the presence of God, everything fades away. It's only about God. I want you to forget whether you like or you don't like, okay? Strip, you have many needs, concerns, all that. Can you just come to the cross, leave those things at the foot of the cross, and then you make your way over to the altar of burnt offering? Okay, I want you to try this. I know we're not perfect. It's not easy. But I want you to try this because this is something that I cannot explain to you in words. Because once you've been in the inner courts, first of all, you don't need any explanation already, right? And you will like it so much because it's so much better than the outer courts. But once you're in the inner courts, wow, I think I don't have to explain anything. So I'm praying and hoping that as you prepare, okay? So don't think about other people. Very serious moment now, okay? Don't talk to one another. These few moments, as we try to worship, okay, the focus is God and God alone. But right now, let's just close our eyes and ask ourselves this question. What can we bring today as your burnt offering to the Lord? Okay. Whatever else you have learned about worship beforehand, put it all one side. Today, just think about this. Getting into the inner court. That is where God is hanging out. That is where the glory, the kavod of God is resting. That is where the power of God is fully manifest. You want to meet God and touch the face of God, you got to get to the inner courts. So Father, we pray now, Lord, your glory will come into this place. As we leave our sandals at the foot of the cross, as we strip down all our fears, insecurities and anxieties, our whole concern with what you do for us, Lord, we strip off that. For this next few moments, Lord, we leave that at the foot of the cross, knowing full well that when we seek first the kingdom of God, all those things will be taken care of. Lord, today, we want to make our way across the court to the inner sanctum. As we walk up to this great altar of burnt offering, each one of us bring in our hands that which is most dear to you, that which is most important, most valuable to you. So tie that up and lay it on the altar of burnt offering to be consumed completely by God, so that it may rise up as a soothing aroma to the nostrils of God, and you see a smile break on the face of the Father. The radiance and the magnificence of His glory shining down upon us, we will be caught up in a place we've never been before. God, will you do this today, Lord? Will your glory come into this place? Shall we stand together as we continue in our worship now, with this in mind? Don't worry about how well or how badly you sing. Nobody cares. Okay? The only thing that matters to God is your heart and your offering.
We place you on the highest place. The great high priest, we place you high above all else, all else, and we call to you and worship at your feet.
As we worship, so like I said, it's not about anyone else, okay? So purely you and God. If you want to come forward, you come forward. You want to kneel, you kneel. You want to stand, you want to sit. It's just you, a very solemn moment. You worship God and make Him smile, okay?
We place you on the highest place.
Thank you.
exalt you, the great I am, the ancient of days, the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe, the sun of righteousness that burns from the center of the universe. Father, we worship you, Lord, not to get something from you, God. Today, Lord, we come here for your pleasure. The desire of our hearts is to glorify you, God, to lift you to the highest place. Oh, Father, forgive us for the times we have settled for just being in the outer courts, God. Today, God, we want to press into the inner courts. Come past the gates of praise into your awesome presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, it's so wonderful to be in your presence, to be without a care, worshiping you. Lord, we could do this forever. And in fact, God, we know that we will do this forever. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this privilege of catching a glimpse of heaven. Thank you, Father. We exalt you, Father. We exalt you. Why don't we sing that refrain one more time? We exalt you. Just to God, God alone. We exalt you. Of worship, incomparable joy. You know what's the irony of it? Here's the irony. When you come in to give God pleasure, you walk away knowing the pleasure of God in your heart. It's different from just having someone tell you nice things about you. This is incomparable. This is where we belong, in the inner courts of worship. Father, we thank you, Lord. We wish this could go on forever. We feel your presence in this place. In your presence, all kinds of things happen. Miracles can happen. Our needs can be met, indeed. Because you know what? The Lamb showed up after Abraham put Isaac on the altar of burnt offering. He didn't do that because he was Jehovah Jireh. God is Jehovah Jireh because Abraham went to the inner courts first. So Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we have a taste today. Something, Lord, that I cannot explain in the limitation of my human effort. But I pray that this moment would be seared in the hearts and minds of my brothers and sisters here, Lord. They know this is the real thing, Lord. When we are in this place, nobody cares about
all the human stuff, like, you know, how well we are performing, how well we are playing, how we look like, how well we sing. No, we are only concerned with one thing. That is You, Lord. So today, Lord, we want to give You the glory, Lord. We give You the glory. Amen. You know, now would be a great time to thank the Lord, right? Shall we put our hands together and thank God? How many of you know that the presence of God is here? You do, right? You know, it takes a bit of getting used to, because the flesh, you know, the human body and all your other needs cry out for attention, you see. The flesh doesn't like it when we take everything and give it to God. So you have to get used to it. And I want to put this to you. Every worship like this, you know, every worship is about God. And when you've come into that place, everything else gets sorted out. You know, people get healed just like this. You know what I mean? Right? You don't even have to tell God your needs. He knows your needs. But you come to the inner courts first. You put up your burnt offering first. That is how you worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen.
My words limit me, but God, we thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your message, God. May this be a lifestyle. May we be like Joshua that did not want to depart from Your presence, God. God, that when we go to school, when we go to our workplaces, God, that this sacrifice of our lives is an act of worship. God, may we always be pleasing to You, Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. Service is over. My worship doesn't end. I'm a bit overwhelmed today, but yeah. Service is over. Worship doesn't end. Next week, 6 o'clock. Here at Coos Auditorium. See you here.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.coos.org.sg. God bless.